You are here with us right now, Lord. Lord, speak to us. Your people are listening, Lord. Open our ears, God. Open our understanding. Hear what you're saying to the church, Lord. Glorify you. Magnify you. Praise you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, church. Missed you last week. Why, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks, Robert. Glad Robert missed me. Thank you. Appreciate it. As you know, Pastor Buddy and the Empower School did the service here, and I went over to Pastor Buddy's church that he pastors, and we swapped pulpits. It was really good. Had a good time. A sweet group of people there, but nothing like our group of people. Miss you guys, seriously. You guys are awesome. Real quick, wanted to talk about something. This is a pregnant pause. There you go. Okay. Next week, we're starting a new series. We're going to go through the book. No, sorry, not the book. The chapter of John chapter 17. Many of us know it as Jesus' prayer or the high priestly prayer. This is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in Scripture, and it's John chapter 17. And specifically, we're wanting to find our purpose. I don't know about you, but I daily ask God, what is my purpose? So there's this understanding of your purpose as the greater, your greater life, like what you're doing with your life, what you're doing with your gifts and talents and your time and efforts and energy. But also, what is your purpose today? What is your purpose in this moment? What is my purpose with my wife? What is my purpose with my children, with my work, with the person standing in front of me? And so John chapter 17, he prays five specific things. So we're going to take it week by week, 5 weeks, to talk about the things that Jesus prays. Because Jesus is praying for you, and he's praying for me. And so what a better way, there isn't a better way, rather, to understand what our purpose is than to see what was on Jesus' heart that he prayed to the Father about you and me. So that's next week. This week, we are finishing our series, Finding Success in Prayer. How are you guys doing with prayer? Give me a little bit of feedback. Doing a little better since we've been stirring things up, perhaps. Hopefully, you don't feel more guilty. Hopefully, things are a little better. Again, as I said a couple weeks ago, one more minute, five more minutes, whatever, of prayer per day is more than you were praying. And continue to press and seek God. That's what's important. This week 7, and like I said, the final week of this series, I want to talk about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. Now, when you hear the word wrestling, generally we think of something like this, right? Ooh, yeah. I thought about wearing like a shirt and just like ripping it. But truth be told, I didn't want to scare anybody. No, actually, I didn't know for sure if I could, so I didn't even want to try it. Didn't want to hurt myself. But yeah, we think of professional wrestlers. I've heard them called soap operas for men, whatever you want to call it. But sorry, didn't mean to offend anybody that's a wrestling fan. Or we think of this, sumo wrestling. And so can we picture ourselves with God and we're two sumo wrestlers wrestling? It's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand. But I have a couple more images that I want to ask you about if this is indeed wrestling with God. What about this one? I don't know this lady. I know that she is going after it. She is wrestling with God. When we're wrestling with God, we're also wrestling with ourselves and the things that we want and the things that we're hearing from God, and we're wrestling with those. What about this? Man that's broken and he's praying, he's seeking God's face, and let me just say, it's not about posture, although I'm showing two people that are on their hands and knees and their head bowed low. It's not about posture. You can be wrestling with God upright. You can be wrestling with God sleeping in your bed, whatever the case might be. Maybe not sleeping, but laying in your bed. What about this? Is this wrestling with God? Maybe this is the greatest definition that we have. God, what are you saying? I'm listening. Pastor Buddy last week talked about hearing God's voice and told a lot of anecdotes and really good stuff about hearing from God. He is speaking. He is speaking to us constantly. Are we listening? So part of wrestling is doing this. God, I'm wrestling with what you're saying. Please speak more. So will you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32? Obviously, if I'm talking about wrestling with God, I'm going to talk about Jacob wrestling with God. I think we can learn a lot of things from this. Genesis chapter 32, I'm going to begin with verse 22. We're just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it in a little bit. Verse 22, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him, and as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would enlighten us, you would open us up to this scripture. Lord, it's here not just as a narrative, not just as a historical document, but Lord, it's to tell us something. God, we want to wrestle with you. We want to pray to you. We want to have a fervent, successful prayer life. God, even right now, we are doing a bit of wrestling, even though we don't know it. Lord, show us what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So who is he wrestling with? There's different propositions about that, different views. One is that it's an angel. It's an angel of God that he's wrestling with. One is that it's just a dream. It's a very vivid dream. It's like a picture, similar to the book of Revelation, how God revealed to him things in dreams. Or it's also said, of course, he says, "I saw God face to face and lived." I would say the vast majority of people would say, no, he's wrestling with God. I mean, it's clearly God because he named the place Peniel. I saw God face to face and was spared. I want to ask you, who is it that was God and became man? Jesus. I believe this is a pre-incarnate visit with Jesus. And so Jacob is wrestling with Jesus. I think one of the things we need to do to wrestle with God is to wrestle with who he is. Scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And somehow we've lost our awe. Somehow we feel like we've figured out who God is. And that God is a certain way. He does certain things with certain people that look a certain way. And we see this understanding of God, and so when somebody is exhibiting that, be it a worship leader, be it an electrician, he or she is acting a certain way, we say that person is anointed or that person has God. And when somebody else is acting completely different than we've ever seen before and we're just not feeling it, it doesn't go along with us, and I believe there's discernment. That's one of the gifts. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just looking at something or someone and saying, that's God, that's not. When have we figured out God? Now, we can know him more every day, and that is the purpose. That is the wrestle that we have. But we need to wrestle with who he is. I don't know what to pray. I just lose sight of it. I mean, I've got a list of things, but I want to pray for a half an hour, but I end up praying for 5 minutes. Ask God to reveal himself to you. If that's all you say to him for a half an hour, that was successful because he is faithful. He will show you who he is. In Exodus chapter 32, stay or keep your finger or your neighbor's finger in Genesis 32 and turn to Exodus 33, please. Raise your hand if you're actually using your neighbor's finger. No one? Oh, man. Okay, who got slapped? Okay, Exodus 33, verse 12. This is Moses wrestling with God. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people." And he was tired of leading these people. These people kept complaining and blaming, and it was a cantankerous people. It was much like the people we deal with, all of us. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." That's a great prayer. "Remember, this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." Man, that is awesome. That should be all of Hosea and Ivanya, you're praying about where is God going to send you next, back to China or Spain or somewhere else. Man, just pray, if your presence goes with us, take us anywhere. If he doesn't, I'm not going. Verse 16, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Show me your glory." This is Moses wrestling with God. I mean, he's talking to him face to face. He goes up to the mountain and he receives the Ten Commandments and the law. This guy knows God and he still isn't satisfied. He's like, "Show me more. Show me your glory." He's grabbing a hold of him. Verse 19, "And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But,' he said, 'you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live.' Then the Lord said, 'This is a place near me,'" or "there is a place near me where you can stand on a rock." Okay, so imagine Moses, Charlton Heston, that's how I imagine Moses. Charlton Heston with a long beard standing on a rock, okay? Is everybody picturing that? Verse 22, "When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." See your back? Your backside? Really, this could be best understood as a Hebrew euphemism for "where I just was." I'm going to show you where I just was. I'm going to show you my radiant glory, but you're going to see it as it passes. That wrestling with God sometimes is just seeing where he once was. That once where he first blessed, where he was at, where his anointing was poured out, that we'll see that, and that's God. That even as he steps away, his footprint, if you will, is God. Moses said, "I want to see your glory." God said, "You're going to see my glory as it passes by. You're going to see the after effects." Are you hearing me? The after effects of his glory. Then we have Elijah. Elijah wrestles with God as well. Remember the story. He He's on Mount Carmel, and he has this showdown with 400, well, I think all 450 prophets of Baal are there, but certainly a lot of them are on Mount Carmel. And you know, the fire comes down from heaven. I won't go into all of it. Then the anointing, the power of God was such on Elijah that he kills all 450 prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel hears about this and starts killing all of the prophets and tells Elijah that he's going to kill, that she's going to kill him too. And so the prophet that so mightily saw God intervene on the mountain and kills 450 prophets of Baal is suddenly running for his life and scared because of a threat from Jezebel. And so he's running and running and he's begging God, God, save me, deliver me, I've been faithful to you. And he thinks he's the only prophet alive, and he thinks that the nation of Israel is just serving other gods, and he is alone, and he's in this wilderness spot. And this is what the Lord says to him. The Lord said in 1 Kings 19:11-12, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, very much like what we saw with Moses. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. This is so insightful for us because, again, our concepts of God, that was clearly God because of what happened. No, God wasn't in it. Yeah, it was amazing. It was spectacular, but that wasn't God. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Okay, this is God. He's showing up. He's cracking the earth. He's really speaking to you. No, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire either. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. King James, New King James says, a still small voice. So God speaks to us. That still small voice. We know that it's God because we've tuned our ears. Jesus said, as a shepherd, that we would know his voice. Still small voice. We, like Elijah, are wrestling with God. God, show me something. I'm all alone. I've been faithful to you. Things just keep happening to me. What's going on? Are you in that earthquake? Are you in that fire? No, you're in me, in that still small voice. That's wrestling with God. And sometimes we have to go through the earthquake and the fire before we hear that still small voice. That's wrestling with God. Acts 17, Paul is talking to the Areopagus in Athens. This is where he's looking around and there's idols everywhere. And he's looking and he sees an idol that says, to the unknown God. He's like, oh, hey, guys, let me tell you about this unknown God. His name is Jesus. So it was during this time, and he says this. He made from one man, God made from one man every nation. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, as only God could do, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him. I'm using the NASB, King James, New King James. They use grope. I love that word. I wake up at night. Our room is pitch black, and if I need to go out of the room, we keep the door closed, and we've got like a fan on the ceiling, a box fan going. I mean, it's loud and cold and dark. It's awesome. Anyway, so I wake up, and I need to go out and get a drink of water or something, and I know where the door is. I've gone out the door a million times, but I'm coming out of sleep, and it's pitch black in there. It's loud. It's noisy. It sounds like an airplane in there. And I get out of bed, and there's times where I am groping on the wall to find the knob because I don't want to wake my wife up. That's the picture here. We know where God is. We've spoken to him before. He's intervened before. But we are called to grope after him, even though he is not far from each one of us. But sometimes our eyes haven't adjusted, our spiritual eyes, and so we must grope. In that process of groping, in that process of seeking is wrestling. It's when God speaks to us. And by the way, when I'm talking about wrestling, I'm talking about prayer. Seeking his face. Wrestling. Not wanting to let go like Jacob. Wrestle with what he says. Not just who he is, but what he says. We have to wrestle with that. What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Is this the timing? God's word, what we're reading, we should wrestle with. Just like on a Sunday morning, we wrestle with it. That's teaching. That's digging deep and finding the things we observe, the things that we interpret, and the things that we apply, and then applying it to our lives, actually. That's wrestling. That's God speaking. Or when that still small voice or the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we feel like it's God, and we have a confirmation that it's God, we have to wrestle with that. We understand it's you, God, but what exactly does it mean? Do you ever ask why Jesus was so mysterious? Jesus told parables. Some of the parables, let's just be honest, guys, don't make sense. We make them make sense. We understand from context, and we understand from rest of Scripture and everything else, we can make sense of them, but put yourself in the shoes of other people. Remember the disciples? Why are you speaking like this? And then he told them plainly what he was trying to say. But he spoke in parables. You know what else he did? He asked questions. He asked questions incessantly because he wasn't interested in mere knowledge. He wanted to know, are you wrestling with it? Are you getting it? It's so mysterious. Remember in John chapter 6, he just fed the 5,000 bread, and they're like, yes, that's the bread man. And so they're following Jesus. True story. They're following Jesus, and Jesus is like, you know, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. You're following me to get more munchies, but I'm telling you, I'm the bread. You should be wanting me. And then he drops this on them. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, I'm out. That was just a little too far. Now, in context, if you understand everything Jesus is saying and our view and hopefully the disciples' view of Passover and the Lord's Supper, you're like, okay, I get what you're saying. It's still a little harsh. I don't know if I'd say it. Why was he so mysterious? But he left it that way. Do you remember the people that left? He didn't go after them. He didn't say, hey, guys, let me explain it. Wait a minute. Instead, he turns to his 12 and like, you guys want to book it too? Because what I just said goes. It's so mysterious. Why do you think he's mysterious? I think it's on purpose. I think because we have to wrestle with it. We have to wrestle with it. The man in John chapter 3 that comes to him at night and is like, what can I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you must be born again. I have to crawl back in my mother's womb. Is that what that's weird, God. It's weird, Jesus. He's mysterious. He wants us to wrestle with it. Are we wrestling with what he's saying? And I mean really wrestling before we go to a commentary. And I'm guilty of this too. Or before we go to church, are we wrestling with what God is saying? He said, who do you say that I am in Matthew chapter 16? And they're walking along and he's talking to the disciples. They're in Caesarea Philippi. And he turns to them and like, so who do men say that I am? And his disciples were like, well, some say you're John the Baptist. This was after he was beheaded. So basically they're saying, you're John the Baptist that just came back to life. Some say that. Some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? That's all whack is basically what he's saying. That's not me. And that's not even important what they say. I want to know, what do you say? What have you been wrestling with? You've been walking with me. You've been exposed to my glory. You've been exposed to the Holy Spirit working through me. Who do you say that I am? Have you wrestled with it? Do you get it? Are we wrestling with what God is saying in his word, through the prophetic word? When a prophecy comes forth in the church service, are we wrestling with that? What does that mean? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to my neighbor? Matthew 15. This is maybe the greatest example of wrestling with what Jesus says. Okay, you ready for this? Many of you will know it. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading. This is where the wrestling starts. She's begging. She's pleading. When we're pleading, the pictures I showed of the man with the hands up and his face in the dirt or the woman up against a chair. This is all begging, pleading. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter has a demon in her and is severely tormenting her. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Doesn't that feel like some of our prayers sometimes? Be honest. You're praying, you're begging, you're like, Jesus, you don't stand for this. You don't stand for a demon being in a person. You have the power, and I have the power through the Holy Spirit to cast this out. What do you mean by not giving me a word? Nothing. Silence. But you know what we usually do? We usually walk away. Well, he didn't say anything. Instead of wrestling and not letting go. Then his disciples urged Jesus to send her away. Tell her to leave, they said. She's bothering us with all of her begging. Wow. I wonder how guilty we are as the church doing this very thing. Man, they complain all the time. There's going to be another complaint next week. They're going to come right back. She's bothering us with all of her begging. Then he said to the woman, I was sent only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, not the Gentiles. Now, this is perhaps, there's scarier scriptures for sure that really apply to us, but as far as just, Jesus, what? Why did you say this? Jesus, do you realize that if you lived in our PC world, they would take your rabbi card away from you? I mean, you would be on CNN News about this bigotry. The woman, first he doesn't say anything. Then when he does say something, seems like an insult. Again, most of us would be like, well, I'm out. I tried, you saw me. The disciples were like saying I was begging and stuff, wanted me to go away too. They saw it. Verse 25, but she came and worshiped him and pleaded again, Lord, help me. Do we have that stick-to-itiveness? That's wrestling. That's groping. Not the other kind of groping. That is going after him. That is holding on. That is saying, no, I need an answer. She worshiped him and pleaded again, Lord, help me. Verse 26, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. We need to wrestle with something like this. When we read it, whoa, Jesus, hey, you made your point. She needs to keep trying, I get it, but man, wow. Basically calling her a dog, right? I mean, am I interpreting this correctly? Verse 27, I love her reply. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even dogs are permitted to eat crumbs that fall beneath their master's table. Verse 28, Jesus responds, woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. When we wrestle with this scripture and what is God saying to us through this scripture, we're seeing a woman that would not take no for an answer. We're seeing a woman that wasn't interested in what people thought of her. They weren't interested in anything other than, my daughter has a demon in her, and I believe you are the Messiah. I believe that you are Jesus, and I'm going after you, like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to hold on until you hear me. I'm going to hold on until you take that demon away. I believe Jesus was so harsh, and he was. I believe Jesus was so harsh because he's like, you need to wrestle with this. You need to wrestle with this. Think about your life. Think about the things that you're enduring. Maybe he's saying, I want you to wrestle with this. When you wrestle with this, you'll really see who I am. You'll really see what I'm saying. You need to wrestle with this. Let's go back to our text about Jacob. Let me give you a little background if we forgot the story of Jacob. Jacob is a conniver and he deceives. He had a twin brother, Esau. They weren't identical twins. One was hairy, one was plain or smooth-skinned. Jacob was smooth-skinned. Esau was a hairy beast, basically. And he first takes his birthright from him over a bowl of stew. And then second, he deceives his father along with his mother and Jacob deceives his father into giving him the family blessing. Basically, the blessing that was supposed to go to the firstborn, even though they were twins, Esau came out first, instead gave it to Jacob. Esau was furious, and his mother overheard him saying that when I finish consoling myself over the death of my father, he died, then I will go and kill Jacob. So his mother tells Jacob, beat it, hit the road, go to Laban's house because you're about to get killed by Esau. I don't want that to happen. So he's in Laban's territory, and he gets two wives, and hopefully you know the story, and all of these livestock and things. And then the Lord tells him, go back. I want you to leave Laban, and I want you to go back home, back to your country, back to your relatives. And he realizes Esau is still there. So he's scared. He's panicking. He's getting some bribes together. He's putting all of the gifts out in front of them with his servants to meet Esau first. And he's begging God, God, please deliver me. He's wrestling with God. Please deliver me. That's the context of our passage. Again, Genesis 32. Once I get there, that would help. I should have got a neighbor to hold it for me. Genesis 32, 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. That's very important to understand. Again, he's been begging, and he has all of these caravans. He separated them into two parties in case Esau's party kills one group. He would have another group left over, and he's begging God, and then he sends everything, and now he's alone. Do you realize when we get alone, that's when God can really deal with us? That's when we can really wrestle with God. And now, verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Believe, again, that it's the pre-incarnate Jesus. He's wrestling with Jesus. He's wrestling with God till daybreak, all night long. Wrestling with him. What's really interesting is Jacob is a deceiver. This time, he's not letting him connive his way out of it. He's not letting him bribe his way out of it. He's holding on and saying, no, you are going to fight. You are going to wrestle. You are going to stay here with me before I grant your request. That's wrestling with God. Sometimes he tells us to do that. Verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go. Do not let go. If you're wrestling with God, if you're wrestling with what he says, if you're wrestling with who he is, if you're wrestling with who you are, do not let go. It says, do not let go, or excuse me, I will not let go unless you bless me. So Faith Ann sneezed multiple times today, and I turned around and said, God bless you. And we say, sorry, Faith Ann, I know you freaked out. What? We say bless you to people who sneeze. What does bless really mean? Well, it is it's the Hebrew word barak. And barak, obviously, to bless somebody is to give them a benefit. If I want to bless Kevin, I'm going to give him something that would bless him, that would encourage him, that would help him. It would benefit him. But there's another meaning to this word in the Hebrew. It means to congratulate. I'm not going to let you go until you congratulate me. I'm not going to let you go until I have received victory. I'm going to keep holding on until I achieve this victory in my life. We have to wrestle with victory. and for victory. Correct? The woman, the Gentile woman, asking for her daughter to be healed, she kept holding on because she wanted victory. She wanted her daughter to be demon-free. Are we going to those pains? Am I going to those pains? The man asked him, "What is your name?" Real interesting. He says, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." And the first thing Jesus says is, "What is your name?" What is your name? Another way of looking at name, particularly in the Old Testament, is character. It's identity. What is your character? What is your identity? I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. God says, "Who are you? Who are you really? What are you about? What is your character?" "Jacob," he answered. Jacob means grasp the heel. This Jacob comes from his name in the womb. As they were being birthed, Esau came out first. And could you imagine the second baby, Jacob, is holding on to his heel? I mean, from the birth. I mean, we as a family watch like American Idol and stuff, or we used to, and almost everybody says, you know, "I've been singing since I was three." Yeah, right. No, he's been conniving since he was in the womb. It means grabs the heel or he deceives. Verse 28, "Then Jesus, the man, said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel.'" Israel means he struggles with God. So your identity, your character, everything that you're about was, what can I accomplish? What can I do by cheat, thief, or whatever, or kill? What can I do? And he's saying, it's no longer about what you can do. It's about what you're doing in me. It's about me. You're struggling with me. You are now Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. You have overcome. God changes his identity. God changes our identity when we wrestle with him. Don't you want to be who he wants you to be? We have to wrestle with him for that. That's how he changes our identity. Who are we? Is it what we do? Or is it who we are? We have to wrestle with our identity. We also have to wrestle with until. The hardest thing is to wait. We've talked about that a couple weeks ago when we talked about waiting on God. When I'm in a doctor's office, it's literally like prison. I mean, I think they should be bringing me bread and water because it's horrible waiting. You're so worn out by the time you see the doctor and he's wanting to know things and you're like, you know, really, I just want to go home. If you got something for that, that'd be great because I don't even remember why I came in here. It's hard to wait until, but we have to wrestle with that. He said, "Bless me." Wait a second. Let's have a conversation here. What's your name? I'm tired. I'm worn out from wrestling all night. It's almost daybreak. Just bless me and I'll let you go. What is your name? What's your identity? What's going on with you? Those are the things that God cares about. He doesn't care as much about what we want to accomplish, even in his name. He wants to know who are we, because he loves us. He wants that relationship. We need to wrestle with until. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." It's the same guy who said, I believe, "I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood." It's the same guy who's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And when people get it, they're like, "Whoa, you're the Messiah. You're the one we're waiting for." He's like, "Shh, don't tell anyone," in the Gospels. What? I thought we were supposed to tell everyone. He's mysterious. And so, "What's your name?" He replied, "Why do you ask my name? Haven't you been wrestling with me long enough to know I'm not telling you my name?" You need to continue to wrestle again with who he is. Then he blessed him there. Then he blessed him there. He congratulated him. He achieved the victory there. There. Where's there? We have to wrestle with until. We have to wrestle until we achieve victory until we achieve there what is there. Verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face." That place that we have to get to is seeing God face to face. We have to get to Peniel. Peniel means seeing God face to face. It's struggling. It's wrestling until we achieve there, until we're face to face with God, until we understand Him just a little bit more, until we feel His love just a little bit more, until we get an extra measure of grace just a little bit more. It's worth every trial. It's worth everything that we're going through. Verse 30, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping." It is noticeable when we wrestle with God. We walk with a limp. We walk with a limp because of our struggles, because of our the things that we go through, because of diseases, because of our sin nature. Sure, but we also should be walking with a limp because we've been wrestling with God. We should all have a limp, right? It should be noticeable that we're wrestling with God and we have a limp. He has touched us in a strong way to where it is noticeable to others. Maybe more importantly, it's noticeable to us. Do you realize that Jacob always walked with that limp and he could always remember, this is when I achieved victory. This is when I would not let go. This is when I pressed in to Jesus. Could I have the worship team come back up, please? I believe when we talk about having success in prayer, it's about not letting go. It's about taking it seriously. I believe you're like me, that all of us are encouraged to pray more, that we want to pray more. I don't think there's anybody in here that's like, nope, not for me. Thank you. I think we're all like, yeah, that's me. I need that. I want that. I want to get closer to God. Oh, wow, that'd be awesome to actually wrestle with Jesus. Really? I think that's available to all of us. Now it's up to us. Are we going to be serious about it? As the worship team plays, we're going to play one more song we can worship to together. Thank Him for His word. I want you to do something, if you would. I want you to come forward. I just want to pray over us as a church about prayer. Is that okay? Can you guys come forward? The worship team, if you could go ahead and start playing. If you're uncomfortable with that for any reason or you're not able to get up here, that's cool. I'm still going to pray over you, though, but you're going to be in your seat. So, good-looking bunch. Yeah. I was looking at you, Dana. The rest? Guys, let's pray. First, I want to know, are we all of one mind? Do we want to wrestle with God? That the situations in our life, it doesn't matter. That God can handle them and we must wrestle with them. That we're not going to give up because a doctor says something. We're not going to give up because somebody looks at us a certain way. We're not going to give up because the expectation that we had didn't come to fruition. That we're going to keep pressing in. That when somebody calls us a dog and they're not going to give it to us, we're going to keep saying, no, Lord, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to continue to press in and wrestle with you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over us as a church. Lord, this is one local expression of your church. Your people. Oh, you love us so much. You died for us. Thank you, God. Lord, you wrestled over us and over the torment you would have to go through in the Garden of Gethsemane. You were wrestling with God, and you were not only doing that for you and for prophecy, but you were also doing that for us and to show us, to be an example, what it means to hold on to God and wrestle with Him. God, I pray for us, every single person standing up here, those who weren't able to be here today that are part of the church at Whistling Pines. Lord, we are wrestling, and Lord, help us to not let go until you bless us, until we receive the victory, until you congratulate us because we are more like you. Lord, bless your people. Lord, give them insight. Lord, I pray that you would tune their ears to your voice. Lord, that they would not hear any other voice but yours. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us as a church. Lord, that we would have boldness like we've never had before. Lord, that we would speak of your mysteries. We would speak of the things that we are wrestling with, Lord. Lord, manifest yourself to us during the week, Lord, not just in a church service, but during the week when we're about our humdrum things, or when we're at work, when we're getting gas, when we're buying coffee, whatever the things we're doing, Lord. Show yourself real to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.